and particularly as Dave was saying there, in local search, you know, people are out and about, they've got their smartphone with them, they've got their tablet with them, whatever, and they want to look up something that is immediate, they have a quick requirement for it, they want to know, they're out there, oh, let's get some food, you know, they want to know what restaurants around them, they want to know what coffee shops around them, they've broken down, they need a tire replacement or something like that, you know, they need to find something that's immediately local to them, and that's where Google will present better results because of the changes it's made.
Ladies and gentlemen, the next event on the card is a heavyweight marketing bout for the small to medium business owner. In the red corner, from Paradise, Australia, is David. And in the blue corner, from an English paradise, is David.
Hello and welcome to another episode of David versus David, the podcast for small and medium business owner, where we talk about all things marketing and business and so on and so on and so on. My name is David Pritchard here in the UK and my co-host in Hobart, Tasmania. I hope this week, David, are you there? Come on in.
I'm here, mate. Feeling great as always.
Good, good, good. And this is episode 2 of season 2, isn't it? So our second series, which we got off to a flying start last week, talking all about branding. So many things to possibly talk about, but I think this week we are talking about Google search and in particular local search, which I guess applies to an awful lot of small businesses and probably our kind of businesses as well, actually. I mean, we're talking here where the kind of search, you know, if you somebody goes and searches on Google for information about a film or a car or something like that, they're probably going to get, you know, what's the best digital camera or digital camera reviews or whatever, that kind of thing. They're going to get pretty informative answers. They're going to get search results that aren't tied to any particular area or whatever. So that's one kind of search, and that's the kind, you know, the kind of results it produces will be different than searches if you are looking for a service, perhaps, or even a product that is supplied locally. So, you know, we have many small businesses have quite a narrow geographic area, wouldn't you say? You know, they're kind of like, you know, car mechanic businesses, restaurants, pizza delivery, that have a much more geographic focus. That's really where that's what we're talking about today, but it's Google local search and local search engine optimization as well.
Yeah,
I mean, there's various changes that have happened over the last year or so that affect this, but it's something that actually probably quite a lot of business owners maybe don't quite get the full picture on it, really. I guess is that something you've encountered?
No, absolutely. I think people don't like change, so they become very settled with, you know, what's being served up. But Google, however, loves change. You know, Google always wants to keep those pieces on the move. So all of a sudden, you know, somebody's happily dodging along thinking, yeah, I'm getting great Google results, and then Google makes a change and they're not aware of it, and before they know it, they're not getting the same result, and the traffic through their website starts to drop, and all of a sudden it dawns on them that something has changed. Now, it's been pretty obvious when some of the changes have taken place over the year, you know, with Panda and Penguin and Pigeon, you know, they get a lot of publicity as these changes have been made. But Google search into a local search really just slipped by for a lot of people because it wasn't a monumental change, but it was a very subtle change brought on, really, because more people are searching on mobile devices these days, and this is where local search especially comes into its own, because Google communicates with the device that you're searching on and says, where are you? And the device says, I'm here. Yeah,
indeed. We'll get into the full ins and outs of local search and so on, but understanding some of the reasoning why things change in the mind of Google and why they, you know, why they change what you see isn't necessarily just because somebody has worked hard on their website and changed things and whatever. You know, that they'll reflect results of people that understand what changes are going on around them. But you know, what's driving Google here is the user. You know, don't think this is always something to come back to. And you know, Google search results is about two people, really. One is Google. That's their number one interest. And whether you have a cynical view of that or not,
But the other one is really that, you know, Google is in business because the people that use Google, and the people that use Google are people that are searching. Now, if the way that people are searching is changing, what they're searching for is changing, then Google will change to reflect that and deliver the kind of results that people will find useful. Google keeps shoving up millions of crappy results from flaky websites that have learned how to manipulate the system and so on and so on. People will stop using it, and then Google becomes less attractive. Less people using it means less people advertising on it because the eyeballs aren't there, which means Google makes less money. So, you know, it's a downward spiral. So Google is, cynical though you may be, as a sort of a behemoth of a search engine that is out there to make as much money from its advertisers as possible and to twist things that you have to advertise in order to get your position out there. You know, you may have that view, you may not, but at the end of the day, bear in mind that Google really has to deliver what people are using it for, which is search results. And if people are using it differently, then Google will adapt to present them with better search results in a better format that users actually will get more from. And particularly, as Dave was saying there, in local search, you know, people are out and about, they've got their smartphone with them, they've got their tablet with them, whatever, and they want to look up something that is immediate. They have a quick requirement for it. They want to know, they're out there, oh, let's get some food. You know, they want to know what restaurants around them. They want to know what coffee shops around them. They're broken down. They need a tire replacement or something like that. You know, they need to find something that's immediately local to them. And that's where Google will present better results because of the changes it's made.
Absolutely. And well, I suppose one of the subtle changes, before we get on to talking about sort of the customer interaction component with this, which is making it so powerful, is the fact that once upon a time, if you had a Google Places or a Google Map listing, that would allow you to search, you know, instantly. But now there's sort of two levels sitting in this, David. There's the first three people on that map, and they show up with good detail too. Yeah, and then there's sort of like the next four. So, you know, it's a 3-7 sort of rule. And this is important because if you're in that first three, you're getting better coverage and better display from Google for doing nothing but, you know, playing by Google's rules. And if you're in the next four, you're still there. But if you're below that, then you're not showing up on the map. And, you know, there's a very big difference between where you sit on that map too, because obviously people who are in the first three get better results than the people who are in the subsequent four. So the question becomes, how do you get into the first three? And this is where, you know, just by getting your customers to interact with Google the way that you need them to, then you could really start reaping some benefits. And we talk a lot about how you can get your SEO right. Well, this is something that realistically we've spoken about before, but not in relation to Google, and that is ratings and reviews. You know, once upon a time, every man and his dog was putting some sort of rating or review site up where, you know, customers would go and leave good, bad, or indifferent reviews about your company. But now Google wants them to do it through Google. They still pay attention to the other review sites and give them some weight in what it is that they're doing. But as with everything with Google, it's about Google. So you can have customers leave, you know, 1-5-star reviews just in Google.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that really is, you know, click of a button type stuff. And it all ties back to the customer, because to do that, they've got to have a Google account. And these days, mm-hmm. when you've got a Google account and you're searching with Google, you're signed into that Google account. So it connects up customers back to your business. And then the next level of review is the true review, where they write a comment about your video, about your business. They can actually mm-hmm. also leave audio, and they can leave video. Mm-hmm. So depending on which of those they leave, once again, depends on where the multiplier sits, because let's say they put up a video review and they link that video review back to their own website or to a YouTube video that they've put up there, then all of a sudden there's a Google multiplier in the algorithm that starts kicking into play as well. And that really starts to get you pushed up into the top three of that list. Once upon a time, you know, you'd be sitting there hoping that people weren't putting reviews up about your business, because really the only people who were reviewing were the people who were wanting to put up negative things about your business. You know, they were the trolls of this world who had nothing better to do. But, you know, today I'd be strongly encouraging any business to get their customers to use the Google review system to place those reviews up there. And you've got to then wonder, how is this going to affect some of the other review businesses? I think some of them, especially in the hospitality business, things like TripAdvisor, you know, they're a big company. They will be able to push through it. But, you know, I reckon at least once a week for my restaurant companies, I am contacted by another review site that wants, you know, customers to use that to review it. I think that ship has sailed. If you're not TripAdvisor or maybe Urban Spoon, and you know you're trying to encourage people to review restaurants, you've missed the boat, because it's going to be TripAdvisor, Urban Spoon, Google, and ultimately, Google is where you want them to go. It's a much better environment for that to take place in. Let's face it, there are plenty of people who are going to restaurants that don't even know that TripAdvisor and Urban Spoon even exist.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, but they definitely would have heard of Google.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, so I mean, what we're saying here is that I think you get quite a few people I speak to that say, oh yeah, you know, we always get people to like us on Facebook and stuff like that. That's not really going to be cutting the mustard anymore, is it? As far as, you know, pumping up your business, you want to be focusing on Google.
Yeah.
You want to be getting reviews in there from people actually leaving the star reviews and or comments for you.
I think so. Some of this is to also marginalise some of the other social media out there. I mean, Google would have been very happy if Google Plus had really fired, and this would no doubt have been a function that existed through Google Plus. But really, they've started to pull back on Google Plus. They haven't killed it off. I think they're probably in some sort of reinvention mode to try and find a new way to use it, because people haven't bonded with Google Plus in the same way that they bonded with Facebook. So then it's incumbent on Google to go and find a new way to use that. So in the interim, they've found the crack in the market, as they, you know, as they do, and they do it very well, and they're wedging themselves into that crack now to blow it open so that it's valuable for them, and this is valuable for them and their customers, and ultimately then your customers, to make sure that, you know, the right people are being found. We've spoken before about the fact that, you know, to come up in a search, let's say you're the local Ford dealer and you want people to find you. Well, once upon a time, you would have had to have your customers search, you know, Ford cars Hobart or Ford cars, you know, Chiswick, or something like that. But these days, because your device that you're searching on is talking to Google and vice versa, it knows where you are. So it's going to give you the Ford dealer closest to where you are. Not necessarily your favorite Ford dealer, but the one that is closest to where you are. And there will come a time when it will give you the one that is your favorite, provided you have had positive rated experiences. But if you haven't, then it will recommend another one to you. Now, this is the trail that Google is heading down. They are trying to take control of that part of the market and help serve you better as a customer to find, you know, best possible results. So it's not going to just be about the content on your website. It's going to be the content that's being contributed by your customers over a period of time. So it's not even like you could go and get 30 customers and get them all to give you great reviews on your website. If you don't continue to do that ongoing, then Google will say, well, look, you know, there was a whole bunch here, but nothing for the last 3 months. Therefore, you know, maybe people aren't having a great experience, so we'll rank them back again.
Yeah, when we're talking about the three results that they show, I mean, that's particularly it works. That's the case now on both desktop and mobile, isn't it? Actually?
Yes, that's right.
So, you know, results 1 to 3. I mean, if you were in results 1 to 3 anyway before, you were happy. If you were in results 4 to 7 before, though, you know, you showed up. So you probably thought you were happy. But the question, I suppose, there is, you know, what kind of traffic, what kind of number of visitors did you get by being number 5 or 6 in the list that was shown? You know, if you're number 6, you're not going to be seen unless somebody clicks on the, you know, I want to see more button or whatever. If you're in that hole where you were in number 6 and now you're not being shown, are you actually missing out on much traffic at all? You know, would people click on the 6th one? Is it a kind of vanity thing? You're sort of saying, well, you know, we're on the front page, we're number 6 or whatever. It probably wasn't actually driving that much business to you. I guess, in the past. So does it matter that you're now not being shown? And really, is all your efforts, should it have been getting up to number one, two or three in the first place? And is that really the only thing you can do now, is to try and focus on getting up there by doing the reviews and so on?
Well, I think it's the primary thing that a lot of people can focus on, because if they're not inventing lots and lots of new content, it's a great way for their customers to effectively be providing content against that business by directly telling Google that, you know, this is a valuable business, we had a great customer experience here, here's why I would recommend it, here's where I believe it sits on a scale of 1 to 5, which, you know, gives direct feedback to Google, which is ultimately what they want. And they would expect that the customer of that business would continue to do that ongoing, because there's nothing to say that you can only review once.
Well, I suppose so. Yeah, absolutely.
You can review multiple times. Every time someone has an experience with the business, they can review. And there is a stated drop-off between what is the number one and what is the number seven. And, you know, Google is really rewarding the businesses who are trying to serve their customers, Google's customers, in the best possible way. And they're making it harder for SEO companies to manipulate the market.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as we have spoken about many, many times, once upon a time you would go in and you would keyword stuff your website. Well, they changed that, you know, with one of their upgrades. Honestly, there was even a time where you could have invisible words on your website to keyword stuff. Well, that went as well. You know, if you try doing that now and watch how fast your website disappears.
Yeah.
But what Google wants is to create this sort of second tier, because for a long time we've said, well, the easiest place to be invisible is to be on page 2 of Google. well, now you can be on page 1 of Google and still be invisible if you're not getting the right sort of feedback consistently through your website. Look, honestly, 3 years ago, I would never have put a review up about a business or an experience that I have. But I do it quite regularly now, because I know that it rewards the businesses in a way that, you know, has that direct response for the people that I'm doing business with.
Okay, interesting question for you here, David. Yeah. I mean, you just said that really resonates with me as well, because, you know, I've until maybe a few months ago even, I rarely would have gone on TripAdvisor and left a review. But do you find, you actually, something you said earlier on, you know, restaurants and places, you know, very wary of asking reviews, because probably the only reviews you used to get, you know, people are much more likely to whinge about something than, they quite often go on TripAdvisor to say how bad something was, or where they've got a complaint, you know, they feel obliged to put pen to paper or finger to keyboard.
Yeah.
But I've noticed, and certainly I come across, I'm much more willing now to think, oh, you know, that was really good. I'll actually go and do them a favour. So I will go on and I will leave a good review if I've had good service, or there's something, you know, had a wonderful time at the place or whatever. Whereas I don't think I've ever gone on and left a negative review. I've kind of let it go by, really, you know, because it's sort of, well, they've had a bad night, it's not, you know, it's not, maybe not fair to slag them off or cause them trouble, you know. But I don't know, do you think there's a sort of social mentality that's perhaps changing as well, whereby when you go out and have a experience something, you know, or people want to have a good experience, don't they? Whether it's getting their car fixed promptly, courteously, wonderful service, and the bill was less than you expected, whether it's a meal out, whether it's a cinema review, whether, yeah, whatever, holiday review, hotel review, whatever. People want to have a good time and a good experience. So when they do, do you think they're more inclined to actually say, crow about the fact, you know, and say, well, you know, I went to this place and it was really good, I'll leave a good review. People go on Facebook, people tend to go on Facebook and tend to say, you know, here's me enjoying my holiday. You know, you get the holiday shots, the blue sea, the blue sky, the sand, the legs and the feet poking out at the end of the sun lounger and so on. People want to sort of, maybe not quite boast, but they want to kind of show off. They want to say, hey, look, I'm having a great time. Yeah, I've had a great time, you know. And so if you have had a good experience at a restaurant or whatever, you want to say, hey, you know, you're much more in the mentality of being willing to leave something positive review. So this isn't all bad news for restaurants and stuff. You know, if you actually are a good restaurant, if you are a good service provider, if you are a good mechanic business, whatever, people will And you know, and if all you do is provide good service to people, you know, what option have people got other than to leave you good reviews? Mm. So I guess this is kind of, you know, going back to the early statement, Google is going to be delivering the results that people want. You know, people want to find out, you know, they're on their mobile phone, they're in town, they want to go for somewhere, and they want to know what the good ones are. They don't want to be presented with necessarily the people that know their way to manipulating search results through search engine wizardry. I'm not saying that you can't possibly manipulate things a little bit by doing reviews and stuff, reviews and whatever. But, you know, Google will work that out. So, you know, sooner or later, but be wary, I would say, of going down the previously trodden path that some people have of fake reviews and that kind of thing. You know, they will get wheedled out, and they will result in slaps for businesses that indulge in that. But I think if you're taking a slightly long-term view of this, which in the internet world means anything over a year, honesty and developing a review system that enables people and encourages people to actually do what Google wants on your behalf will pay dividends in the end.
Yeah, absolutely. I find that in the review situation, as you'd expect, things like hospitality type businesses, so food, accommodation, tourism related, they're the ones that are at the vanguard, you know, the front of all of this happening. So you see them get the, you know, the good, the bad, and the indifferent review far more than other industry groups. But it's happening, like you said, you know, local mechanics getting reviewed, all of that sort of thing. And I think that people are also starting to self-edit and create rules for themselves in how they conduct their reviews, because they know that it's having an impact on the businesses that are involved. Because once upon a time, as I said, it was just the trolls, and that was the problem. Look, personally, when it comes to this sort of thing, if I have a bad experience and I bring it to the manager's attention, and I feel that I haven't got satisfaction, or that I haven't even been heard, then I will put a bad review up. If it's a good review, it gets a good review. However, if I don't bring it to the manager's attention that I've had a negative experience, and please don't take from this that I've had lots of negative experiences, these are my rules. But if I don't bring it to the manager's opinion, I just don't put a review up. So they don't get the benefit of a good review, but they don't get the slap of a negative review, because I haven't given the person the opportunity to explain or rationalise why maybe that experience took place. So, you know, if I haven't got the bottle to stand up and say, hey, this is what happened to me, I'm not very happy about that. You know, if I'm just willing to let it slide by, then my review should just slide by it. You know, there should be no review, good, bad, or indifferent. Because not reviewing has as much impact as either one of a bad or a good review, because they don't get the benefit of that extra stat clicking through into their business. But I don't, I don't review everything. If I go out and buy a cup of coffee, I don't review it. But if I go out and have a meal at a restaurant, yeah, sure. And I have a good meal, I'll put it up there. If I have a bad meal and I bring it to the restaurant owner's attention, then I'll put the bad review up. I think I've put one bad review up in all of that time, because usually what happens, and I'll give you a good example. I did go out for dinner last week, and at the restaurant I was at, my wife got a hare in her meal. So ordered a chicken parmigiana, and it came with a hare that was between the meat and the chicken. That's unacceptable. So we brought it to the attention of the waitress. She replaced the meal. No fuss, no hassle. They got a good review. Because, you know, what potentially could have been a negative experience was like, we're really sorry about that. Here, well, let's take that away. We'll get you a nice new fresh one. It'll be perfect. Yeah. All good. So why would you give them a bad review? They did entirely what they should have done. However, if they'd turned around and gone, yeah, well, you know, don't tell everybody, everyone will want one, then you'd give them a bad review if, you know, because they didn't redress it properly, or you just give them no review at all. I actually am interested in how some of the supply businesses, like a hardware store, for example, will go in a world where reviews are important, because you don't necessarily go in and buy, you know, 150 grams of nails and then put down a great review because, you know, you had an excellent shopping experience while you were buying nails. So those sorts of businesses are going to have to look to one up their customer service experience so that they do get those reviews, and that will help them separate them from the pack. You know, that we've all been into businesses where you know, the service has been, well, just, you know, pretty bland, average, because in the past there'd been no expectation to deliver anything but average service. There'd been no incentive to deliver anything but average service. So businesses are going to have to become more focused on that because it is affecting their local search. If you're a builder, for example, so you might only have, you know, there'd be some builders who would build between 4 and 6 houses in a year, and that would be more than enough to, you know, generate income for them. Well, what happens if you don't get 4 to 6 really good reviews from those customers in a year? What happens if you get 1 good review and your competitor, who is also building 4 to 6, gets 2? They are going to go up above you because you didn't seek out your customers to leave you reviews. Once upon a time, you know, they'd be pretty happy if the customer wrote them a letter, a testimonial letter, and said, hey, you know, thanks for building my house, Bob. We were really happy with the experience. That was great. Doesn't do them any good anymore unless it's in the digital world and unless Google is seeing it. So they've got to change their customer service experience. I was only talking to some builders the other day and trying to explain to them why it's important that they change their customer service experience. And for them, this is a really hard jump to make, because in the past, they haven't had to do that. You know, they go along, they talk to the people, they perform the miracle of turning a piece of paper into a building, and, you know, that's all that they see that they have to do. And I don't know anyone, for example, who has dealt with tradespeople of any sort, doesn't matter whether it's a builder or an electrician or a plasterer or a plumber, who say, yeah, I'll be there at, you know, 1 o'clock on Tuesday, and you're lucky if they show up at 1 o'clock on Friday. And there is no,
indeed.
Yeah, and there is no, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't turn up. It's like, well, buddy, you know, don't give me a hard time, otherwise I'm going to pack up my tools and going to piss off and go somewhere else. They are going to die in this world, okay, because people will review them badly. It will affect their search engine optimization, and they will disappear.
Okay. Now, it's not all, I mean, this is the reviews and so on are going to be important. They are important. They are going to be increasing relevance and so on over time, we guess. I mean, nobody ever quite knows what Google decides to do. But, you know, because of the changes in the way that people view things, you know, these changes have been made. You now tend to have these results displayed as the top three and the map and so on. Yeah. So if you're in the top three, happy days. If you were previously in the top seven but not in the top three, you know, it's not quite so good for you, perhaps. Although question how much traffic you were getting previously anyway. So, you know, things to improve your chances of getting into the top three, because it's not the end of the world. I think the top three accounts for about typically, and not every time, but typically, the statistic that's been bandied about for years is that top three results account for about 42% of the clicks when people search. So if you were in the following seven, you were taking an ever diminishing piece of the pie, really, yeah, in terms of clicks. So, you know, you want to be thinking about, don't rule out Google Plus if you and Google Pay, you know, if you claim your Google page, you know, it's still worth doing that as a local business. You may as well. It's not the hardest thing in the world to get sorted out. Think about focusing your search engine optimization efforts on being local. You know, if you're a pizza delivery company in Hobart, there's no point being focusing your SEO on pizza delivery Sydney or Melbourne or yeah, generically. You're not going to be there. Become more specific. So the tighter your focus, the more you will stand a chance of returning in the results for that well-focused kind of search, which is probably what people are going to be doing. You know, if somebody's on a mobile phone, as Dave was saying near the beginning of this, and they're in Hobart and they type in pizza delivery, it's going to show them pizza delivery companies in Hobart. Mm. It isn't going to show them pizza delivery companies in Moscow or London or New York. You know, so, you know, help yourselves by adding to that focus. You know, you can still focus on the SEO technique of links, getting links. And again, if they're relevant links, if you're a pizza delivery company in Hobart and you're getting links from the Chamber of Commerce in Hobart, you know, or whatever, the trade association, the local trade associations and stuff like that, they're going to carry weight for you. You know, so, you know, SEO is not going to go away. All the things that Google are looking for isn't entirely going to go away. Again, we're not saying to spam the system here. We're not trying to manipulate it. We're just saying, you know, go out, you know, try and get those links from people. Try and become legitimate in the eyes of Google by getting those links. You know, and it all forms part of marketing in general. So, if you're out there pushing yourself and it doing press releases, getting stuff out there, advertising and so on, it's going to end up having an effect where you will start getting links back to your site again that are valuable, that Google wants to see. If it sees that people are commenting on you in TripAdvisor for local stuff, if it sees people with other businesses connecting to you, and it's genuine and it's relevant and it's local, it's all going to give you ticks in the boxes that's going to help you either maintain your position in those top three, or if you're number four, number five, and you're trying to knock on the door to get up there, it's going to help you do it. So, you know, get more reviews, work with Google, look at Google Plus, stick all these things in there. It's all going to help you appear in the top three. And once you're in the top three, you know, again, keep going with it, because happy days are here. But, you know, somebody else will be coming along trying to knock on and trying to push you off. So it's important. It's a continual process. It's something that a lot of small businesses, I feel, you know, they stop once they're there. They think they've done it. That's it. You know, it's an evolving landscape, and you just need to keep maintaining that marketing effort on a consistent basis. Google loves consistency as well. You know, if you suddenly have 25 reviews today and then none for a month, and then you know, somebody, oh, we better get some more reviews, and you add another, you know, 30 reviews, and then leave it for another, yeah, it doesn't, it looks wrong, because it is wrong. You're not really being genuine there. What would normally happen is that you'd get, you know, a few reviews a week dotted through, you know, 3 one day, 4 another day, none one day, 2 one day, so on and so on. So, you know, that's what would maybe happen for a small local business. So think about maintaining a consistent approach to all those local marketing SEO activities. You know, add more content to the website, focus the keywords, focus the page title on local aspects and so on. And you will slowly, if not quickly, start to reap the rewards of that.
As we've said before, David, you know, think globally, act locally. This is, you know, this is becoming the new mantra. And something else is probably worth mentioning, mate, is that even if you've got a relatively new website, there's a reasonable chance that when this website was being built, that some of the things that we've just discussed didn't exist. Mm-hmm. So the design of it won't necessarily have been set up with all of that information built into it. It would have been built on the, you know, the previous version of SEO as we all understood it from Google. So you need to make sure you go back and revisit this, or go back and revisit your web designer and say, hey, is this up to date from this point of view? What can we do that will allow this to be tweaked so that this will happen?
Don't forget to make your site mobile responsive.
That's right.
You know, everything we've been talking about is the big assumption here that your website will automatically readjust itself to fit the screens of tablets and smartphones for the devices that people are looking at. If your website presents itself as a miniature desktop version on your iPhone, so you have to pinch and zoom and put your 5x optical glasses on to even read the thing, big bad cross in the box as far as Google's concerned. You know, they want to see mobile responsive websites, and particularly for local businesses. You know, if that's what people are searching for, then you've got to present yourself in the right way at all times. David, I think we're getting to the end of a long episode here. Actually, it's a huge topic, and maybe one we revisit again in future. But I think we need to call it a day on this one now, because we've kind of gone over quite a long way.
Absolutely. All right, let's draw a line on that one.
Indeed, you can find all the episodes that we've done before, both in this series and our previous first series of 118 episodes, at davidversusdavid.com, and download them all, listen to them all. There's oodles and oodles of good information in there. You can also find us at iTunes and subscribe to us to make sure you keep up to date with all the other episodes. Leave us those lovely glowing 5-star reviews as well that we'd love so much, and or engage with us at facebook.com/davidversusdavid. So that's really isn't it, David? So for me here in the UK, it's over and out until next week.
Oh, and speaking of next week, David, make sure you check it out. We're going to be talking about search engine optimization, but critically, copywriting for search engine optimization, so you can get all your ducks lined up and get the best value out of what it is that you're doing with your search engine optimization. So catch you next week, gang.